puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now on the Weekend Morning Show for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsboro joins us in studio with his latest installment. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bryce.
Okay, so what are we talking about this week?
We're looking at a restaurant on Main Street here in Winnipeg that is regarded by many people as a Manitoba institution. It was part of a company that marks its 92nd birthday this year, Salisbury House, founded in 1931 by an unemployed actor from Nebraska named Ralph Irwin.
I love Sal. So, okay, how did an actor from Nebraska come to establish this restaurant?
Well, in a roundabout way, Irwin got his start in acting at the age of 17 when he joined an American touring theatrical company that also did shows in Canada. Ralph spent 8 years from 1920 to 1928 traveling all over the four western provinces, as well as parts of Ontario, performing for a few days at a time at each town where they stopped. In 1928, he tried to break into the big time. You know, theater, the sort of the epicenter is New York City. Well, unfortunately, it didn't go well. Like a lot of struggling actors, he had to find other work to support himself and his wife. Irwin conceived the idea of opening a restaurant. And from his years of traveling in Western Canada, he thought there was a market for a place that served quick, tasty food, and he selected Winnipeg as the target for his entrepreneurial ambitions.
Okay, so help me get my head around this. Why did he select Winnipeg?
Well, Irwin's biography is silent on this question, but I would guess that it was because in the 1920s, Winnipeg was the largest city in Western Canada. Numerous people that were seeking their fortune passed through the city on their way to points west. Like Ralph Irwin, they had lots of dreams, but not necessarily much money. I think Irwin probably saw Winnipeg as an ideal place to provide low-cost meals to such ambitious people.
Okay, so that explains a little bit of why he may have landed on Winnipeg, but what's the basis for the restaurant's name, Salisbury House?
Well, the main food item that Irwin intended to offer in his new restaurant were hamburgers. Now, keep in mind that he was getting started in business barely a dozen years after the First World War. There were lingering hostilities to Germans, and I suspect that Irwin thought that a food containing the name of Hamburg, a major German city, might be unappealing to war-weary Canadians. Instead, he chose to name his restaurant after the Salisbury steak, which of course is a patty of ground beef. Supposedly, Salisbury steak got its name from a British lord named Salisbury, and Irwin thought the British connection would be attractive to Canadians. In fact, the name is not British at all. Salisbury steak comes from an American physician named James Salisbury, who had served during the American Civil War, and who in 1888 had conceived a low-carbohydrate diet featuring chopped beefsteak.
Okay, so, but Salisbury House, the restaurants, they don't call their meat patties and burgers, they don't call their patties and hamburgers Salisbury steaks.
No.
I know this because of the many times I've been there. They call them nips. So what's the connection there?
Well, Ralph Irwin's biography, which is my source, by the way, for all his information, claims that as he was planning his new restaurant while living in New York City, he walked past a shooting gallery and he heard the sort of zip-zip sounds of bullets being fired. Somehow, zip became nip in his mind, and Irwin thought that Salisbury nip sounded British. So this has been the name used by Salisbury House ever since. That somehow he wanted to accentuate the British connection here in Canada.
Okay. So when did the first Salisbury House open up?
Well, Irwin arrived in Winnipeg in late 1931. He rented a building on Fort Street between Portage and Graham that was 65 feet deep, but only 11 feet wide. It was a very tiny little building. In fact, it was not wide enough for tables, so 10 customers at a time could sit on benches along the length of a wooden counter against one wall. The initial menu, it had just three items: Salisbury nips, Blue Ribbon coffee, and home-baked pies. And it featured the slogan, "Dine for a Dime," because the nip was 5 cents and a cup of coffee was another nickel.
Sal's has been around for almost a century. I assume that that means the restaurant has thrived.
Yes, of course. You know, by 1932, a year later, Irwin had enough business to open a second location on Kennedy near Portage Avenue. This time he opened a new building. He actually constructed it himself. It featured a red peaked roof that would become a signature look for later restaurants. Oh, in fact, coincidentally, the construction foreman on that job was a fellow named Stephen Juba, who, of course, would go on to serve as the mayor of Winnipeg for 20 years, from the late 1950s to the late 1970s. In time, the original Salisbury House on Fort Street, well, it was always too small, so eventually it was closed and Irwin took over a building at the corner of Broadway and Osborne, where the Canada Life building now sits. By 1939, barely 8 years after he got into business, there were five restaurants in Winnipeg, and by the early 1970s, there were 40 Salisbury House, not just here in Manitoba. They were spread across Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario. And in fact, at one time, there were even two Salisbury Houses at Fargo, North Dakota. But most of the success of the firm has been here, of course, in Manitoba.
Gordon, you're blowing my mind. I didn't realize that Salisbury House's reach was so widespread outside of Manitoba. But within Manitoba, where have those restaurants popped up?
Well, there have been Salisbury House restaurants in Brandon, Flin Flon, Norway House, Selkirk, and Steinbeck. And, you know, there may be others as well. I was digging and I couldn't find perhaps all of them. You know, but for example, at one time, Brandon had four Salisbury Houses, including one in the now abandoned Thunderbird Bowling Alley that we discussed here in Abandoned Manitoba just 2 weeks ago. There was a Salisbury House down in that cavernous space. Today, there are seven locations in total, all of them here in Winnipeg.
Okay, so I'm not going to claim to be a math whiz here, but if I'm trying to do the calculations, my assumption would be that this Ralph Irwin is no longer involved?
That would be a safe assumption, yes. He sold his interest in the building in 1979. He retired to Toronto, where he died in 1983. So he's been out of the picture now for 40 years.
Okay, so given that the theme of your installments is abandonment, how does abandonment figure into this story?
Well, there are two vacant buildings, to my knowledge anyway, here in Winnipeg that feature prominently in the history of Salisbury House. One is located on Ellis Avenue at the corner of Rosebery. It opened in 1954, and its claim to fame is it was the chain's first drive-in restaurant with car hop service. You know, for anybody listening who doesn't know what that means, you know, that's where you dine in your car, and usually the meal is served on a tray that is clipped to the driver's window. So, you know, that's the whole idea. People would bring the meal out to you, and you'd sit in your car and eat it. In April of 1954, Salisbury House advertised in local newspapers for these car hops. They wanted 30 women to work as car hops, and they promised, and this is a direct quote, distinctive gabardine uniforms. Mm. Woohoo! The Salisbury House in Ellis, well, it operated for the next 66 years, although not always a drive-in, until it closed in early 2020. And I surmise that it was a victim of the COVID pandemic.
Okay, so what about the second vacant Salisbury House?
Well, it's a little closer to now. Earlier this year, the Salisbury House on North Main at Matheson closed its doors. It's been part of the community since 1963. And among the people with fond memories of the North End Sals is none other than Burton Cummings, who recalls going there with his bandmates before he even became famous with the Guess Who.
Okay, so why did the North End Sals close?
Well, it was built intentionally small. You know, maybe it's returning to the roots of Salisbury House, you know, that little store on Fort Street, you know, having it in tiny spaces, because it was aimed at being mostly a coffee shop that was intended to cater to consumer tastes in the early 1960s. But that small size was ultimately given as one of the reasons for the closure, along with a bunch of other things like rising food prices, inflation, increase in the minimum wage paid to the staff. You know, and I can speak from firsthand experience based on a lunch I enjoyed there earlier this year when I say that its bathrooms were definitely not up to code. To get to the bathroom, you had to walk through the kitchen, down some narrow stairs into the basement. And in fact, you had to watch you didn't bonk your head on the ceiling as you went down. I have no idea how people with limited mobility would ever get down there. It's, you know, it's a shame, though, that this institution is closed, because it was clear from the repartee that I witnessed between the customers and the staff there was a genuine relationship that only develops in places that are truly loved. You know, the customers loved being there. I expect that many of our listeners have fond memories of meals at Salisbury House, just as you do, Bryce. And they probably have particular favorites. You know, maybe it's a nip, maybe it's the chili con carne, bran muffins, wafer pie. My personal favorite, red velvet cake.
I've never strayed too far from nips, to be totally honest with you. So, okay, what's up for next week on Abandoned?
Well, I receive many emails asking me challenging questions about Manitoba history, apparently thinking that I know everything about everything. I can rarely answer these questions, but I had one recently that really intrigued me, so much so that I researched it. The answer surprised me, and I thought that our listeners might be interested in it too. That's going to be our topic next week.
Can't wait. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.